Dark Light, Elizabeth Cage, Book 2, written by Jody Taylor and read by Julie Teal.
Dark light shines on a different world. A world we could not reach if we travelled 10,000 times 10,000 years. And yet, it is less than a hair's breadth away from our own. And sometimes the walls are very thin. Prologue. My name is Elizabeth Cage, and I've never done anyone any harm in my life, at least not intentionally. But I have what some might call a gift. I call it a curse. Let's call it a talent. I can see things. No, not dead people, although I have seen dead people. I see something else. I see people's colours. Years ago, when I was a child, before I'd ever heard the word aura, I called it a colour. Everyone has one. A shimmering outline of colour that constantly changes shade and shape as they react to whatever's going on around them. Everyone's is unique. Some are a distinct shape, thick and clearly defined. Some colours are rich and strong and vibrant. Others are pale and insubstantial. Sometimes there's a dirty, dark patch over their head or their heart, and that's never good. Sometimes friends or family, people who are close, have similar colours, colours that are related in the spectrum. You may have noticed that there are people for whom you feel an affinity. That's because your colours are similar. Some people repulse you. You feel an urge to keep your distance. You might not know why, but your colour certainly does. Your colour tells me things about you, things you might not even know yourself, things you might not want others to know. Give me 10 minutes and I can tell you whether you're happy or sad. I know if you're lying. I know if you're afraid. I know if you're bluffing. You don't have to say a word, but you're telling me just the same. I don't know how Dr. Sorensen found out about me, but he did. He runs a clinic, ostensibly a rest home for those rich enough to be able to afford his very discreet services. But that's just a front. He works for the government. I'd never actually heard the phrase psychological warfare until Michael Jones explained it to me. But apparently that's what Sorensen does. He devises ways of misleading, deceiving, and intimidating people. And don't fall into the trap of thinking he confines these dubious activities to enemies of the state. According to Jones, he's pretty indiscriminate in his targets. Sometimes our friends can be more dangerous than our enemies. He'll have a go at anyone he's told to. And, from my own experience, he's not above using his resources for his own ends either. He's an expert on people's behaviour, which is what makes him so dangerous. He can predict how people will behave under certain conditions and how to manipulate them accordingly. He can tailor-make propaganda tools. He can advise on how to mislead, deceive, or even intimidate anyone he's instructed to. He seeks out other people's vulnerabilities, and not for good reasons. I know he has plans for me. As Michael Jones once said, "My God, Cage, we could sit you down in a room full of world leaders, and you could tell us everything we needed to know. Who's lying? Who's afraid? Who isn't?" Except, I didn't want to be sat down in a room full of world leaders. I just wanted to live a quiet life. I didn't ask to see these things. It's not a gift to know what people are thinking, and it's definitely not a gift to see those shadowy figures, half in this world and half out of it. I just wanted to ignore it and move on from my husband's sudden death, and I thought I had. I thought I'd found a friend, someone I thought might, one day, become much more than a friend. Michael Jones was big and competent and damaged. His colour should be a rich mixture of reds and glowing golds, but by losing someone, he'd lost his own way. He was vulnerable. And that bastard Sorensen had exploited that vulnerability and used him to get to me.